The Catholic Morning Show.
Good morning. Thanks for listening in today. Deacon Mark Campbell, great to be with you here this morning. We're going to jump right to our guest here to start the show, Patrick Novakovsky. He's a author, journalist, and speaker. Good morning, Patrick, once again.
Deacon Mark, great to be with you.
Yes, sir. And so let's talk a little bit about St. John Paul the Great and St. Mother Teresa. Now, you had the unique opportunity to meet St. Pope John Paul the Great five times, is it?
Five times.
And, yeah. And talk about how those opportunities, I imagine, all sort of unique in their own opportunity. How did you get to meet him five times?
I worked for the Marian Fathers, the Marians of the Immaculate Conception. They run the National Shrine of the Divine Mercy in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, in the Marian Helper Center. I was the assistant editor of their magazine, and I just happened to win a trip for two to Cancun in Christmas of 1996. Now, how that got me to Rome, I called the travel agent, and I said, I don't want to go to Cancun. I'd rather go to Rome. Can I do that? They said yes. My boss said, oh, you're going to Rome. You might as well stay at our house in Rome, and would you like to meet the Pope? And, of course, I took him at his word. I mean, who says things like that? But the Marians are a Polish order of priests, and their superior general at the time had been a student of John Paul before he became John Paul, when he was Karol Wojtyła, teaching at Catholic University of Lublin. So they had the connections to make it happen. And on October 1st, 1997, I had a private audience with John Paul in the papal apartments for the first time. The Marians were commissioned to lead the re-evangelization of Eastern Europe after the fall of communism. So the Marians sent me to Eastern Europe. I came back in 1997 with a bunch of stories, very successful. So every year they sent me back to Rome to meet the Pope and then to Eastern Europe to write these stories, to gather information, write stories. And that continued for 5 years. And I met John Paul each of those years until I met my wife. And then my direction changed. And then he became John Paul the Great.
Wow. And so what were your impressions with that first meeting?
Oh, my gosh. So there are two times in my life where my heart literally jumped in my chest. I had a physical reaction to seeing someone. Interestingly, they were both wearing white. I came around the corner and saw John Paul kneeling in front of the tabernacle in his private chapel in the papal apartments. And my heart literally, it jumped in my chest. I had this physical reaction. The second time it happened was actually when I was waiting for my wife to walk down the aisle on our wedding day. And I saw her for the first time. It was the same reaction. But I had a presentation for John Paul that first time I saw him. And so I'm standing there after the Mass, waiting for him to come through the door and thinking, I need to speak to the Pope. This is John Paul II, and this is me. I'm just this farm kid from Saskatchewan. But when he walked in the room, all of my anxiety was gone. It was like standing next to my dad saying, hey, Dad, look what I did at work today.
Yeah.
It was so easy.
That's funny because, that's a daily conversation. How's work today? And I can only imagine, like you say, that conversation. Well, I met the Pope today. And so as you were preparing a presentation for the Pope, man, what was going through your head? I imagine myself just being sort of riddled with anxiety of like, what can I say to this man that he doesn't already know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was the webmaster of Marian.org. And so I presented him with pictures, printouts, essentially in a beautiful folder of the website of Divine Mercy and Faustina. She was then Blessed Faustina, and things that he had written and said about Divine Mercy. But then I had to say something, right? And that was the thing. I had about 30-40 seconds to actually talk to him and say, Holy Father, this is what I'm presenting you with. And that was the part where I was nervous until he showed up, and then it was just easy.
Yeah, that's outstanding. So you have you've written a book that's going to be coming out from Catholic Answers. Yeah, and it's on the unique relationship that Pope John Paul the Great had and Saint Mother Teresa. So talk about this book, how that kind of came together, and how you discovered this unique friendship that they
had. So I didn't meet Mother Teresa, but 3 weeks after she died, I interviewed her immediate successor, Mother Nirmala, Sister Nirmala. She didn't go by Mother. And and we talked about Divine Mercy and Mother Teresa, and Mother Teresa had really no connection to Faustina or the Divine Mercy message and devotion, but she lived mercy. And this is an interesting tidbit that I got from that interview, which was also in 1997, that the day after Mother Teresa died, her sisters gathered at her tomb in Calcutta and prayed the Divine Mercy Chaplet for the first time. And it was spontaneous. The sisters just did it. And they've been doing it every day since. So even though Mother didn't have this devotion to the Divine Mercy as we know it, she lived mercy, but the sisters are continuing to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 o'clock every day in Calcutta at her tomb. So taking my experience with John Paul, with Mother Teresa and Divine Mercy, and all of the years that I wrote about Divine Mercy, I noticed this thing that John Paul brought us St. Faustina and the Divine Mercy message. He shepherded her cause even before he became Pope. He beatified her. He canonized her. He wrote a beautiful encyclical on Divine Mercy. And Mother Teresa lived mercy. And John Paul also had a great teaching on the dignity of the human person. Mother Teresa elevated human dignity in every person she met. She taught us what it meant to be created in God's image and likeness and put that into practice. So here we have a great saint teaching us about mercy and human dignity, and another saint who's literally living that every single day. They met for the first time in 1973 at a Eucharistic Congress in Melbourne, Australia, and then again in Philadelphia in 1976 at another Eucharistic Congress before anyone knew the name Karol Wojtyła outside of Poland. And Mother Teresa had already ascended to fame, in a sense. Most people in the world knew who she was by 1976, but their friendship only deepened over the years as he became Pope. Of course, she looked to him for guidance, and he looked to her to go places he couldn't go. John Paul, as Pope, couldn't go to Moscow. Mother Teresa could, and she did, and made a great impact there with her order, with the Missionaries of Charity, by establishing homes for the dying all over the world. And so she in a sense acted as his emissary and his representative in many places around the world that he just couldn't go.
Well, this is an exciting, you know, I think anytime we can take a couple of modern day saints, right, who we know so much about and unpack and discover something new, I think it's just, a great refresher for all of us to look at these lives of sanctity and holiness and draw from it. In the last couple of minutes here, Patrick, what is going to be, you think, the key takeaway for readers of the book?
Yeah, I think the key takeaway is that the 20th century was the bloodiest century in human history. And God sent us two great saints to show us that we were doing it all wrong. And God does this often, sends us saints in pairs to teach us something about our day and what we need to learn. And with Mother Teresa and John Paul II, it was this idea of God's mercy and of human dignity, and how we need to elevate the human person in an era where the human person was being degraded and still is today. That there are things that we need to learn with regard to, you know, human trafficking. It's a scourge upon our nation, and of course the scourge of abortion.
Yes, indeed. Patrick Nowakowski, he's the author of this new book coming out. The title is
Icons of Mercy.
Icons of Mercy. And when will it be available, and where can people get it?
It will be available in October at Catholic.com, yep. Catholic Answers, and of course Amazon and anywhere great Catholic books are sold.
Patrick, there's so much we could have covered here, but we only had a short amount of time. I hope we can do this again real soon. Probably as maybe the book draws near, we can maybe highlight some of the particular chapters in that book. I'd love to continue the conversation with
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Listen to the Catholic Morning Show weekdays at 7 a.m. Central on the Iowa Catholic Radio Network, iowacatholicradio.com, or the Iowa Catholic Radio app.